Happy Feast of Pentecost, happy birthday of the Church. Today we celebrate this amazing feast of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And yet when you study the Scriptures carefully, it's clear that God sends the Holy Spirit throughout salvation history. At creation, the Spirit breathes on the waters, and God sends out His Spirit in that beautiful moment when everything is made. God gives a portion of His Spirit to Moses and to the elders of the people as they go through their difficult journey in the desert. Holy Spirit anoints the prophets to speak that word that both consoles and challenges. Holy Spirit descends upon the Blessed Virgin Mary at the moment of the conception of Jesus in her womb. In the Gospel, we hear that on Easter Sunday night, Jesus sends His Holy Spirit upon His apostles by breathing upon them and commissioning them to go forth and be ministers of reconciliation. And in the first reading, we hear that glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the birth of the Church, when the Blessed Mother is in that upper room praying with the first followers of Jesus Christ. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is always at work in the life of the world and in the history of salvation. Preaching at confirmations gives me ample opportunity to reflect on the meaning of today's feast. I think last month I was blessed to confirm about 1,800 of our young people throughout the Archdiocese. And confirmation is our moment of Pentecost, when we drink deeply of the Holy Spirit, when we are anointed, when we are sent. And so it's given me pause to reflect often on that upper room experience, that glorious morning when the Holy Spirit descended in wind and flame. I often wonder, what did that look like? What did that feel like? Did the apostles' hair start on fire? Did they get thrown against the wall? What were they thinking? What were they feeling? Nothing in the Scriptures tells us that. All we know is the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. Because if the apostles were afraid of even speaking about the risen Christ before Pentecost, now they are courageous and articulate. If they were divided before, now they are united. If they weren't quite sure what to do, even with the resurrection of Christ, now they are certain, and they give their whole life to the task of evangelization. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of all nations. So it's clear that the Holy Spirit is the energy of God, the force of God, the wisdom of God, in a sense, the electricity of God. You can have the greatest technology in the world, but if you don't have an electrical source, it does you no good. Holy Spirit is that source of energy that we plug into every time we pray, every time we celebrate a sacrament, every time we choose to forgive or to love or to believe, or as the second reading today says, to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. When I examine my prayer life, I find that I don't pray to the Holy Spirit often enough. It's easy to imagine the Father in some sense and to pray to the Father. It's certainly easy to imagine Jesus, to know Jesus because He was the human incarnation of God, and to pray to Him. Holy Spirit is much more nebulous. And so it's easy to perhaps ignore the Holy Spirit or not to even think of the Holy Spirit. And so perhaps today's feast encourages us, reminds us, compels us to pray to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, to ask the Lord to stir up our hearts, to inspire us, to make us courageous, to make us articulate in the proclamation of our faith, to become saints. And so today we ask the Holy Spirit to descend upon us and to fill us with that fire of God. This weekend is our Archdiocesan Synod, and so both yesterday and today, 400 delegates have been meeting at Cousin Center to pray, to discuss, to discern, and to decide pastoral priorities and initiatives for the future of our Archdiocese. And yesterday was a Spirit-driven day. There was so much positive energy, so much enthusiasm, so much joy. And so the Holy Spirit is stirring the entire Church up, certainly in our Archdiocese, towards a renewal of faith, towards a re-embrace of that apostolic commission to go forth and proclaim the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And so today we give profound thanks to God for the gift of the church. As we celebrate the birth of the church, we acknowledge and reaffirm our love for her, for she is our spiritual mother. In the waters of baptism, she gave us birth. In this Eucharist, she feeds us. In the sacrament of the sick, she heals us and holds us close. She speaks God's word to us. She is our mother. And so it is only for the church that we live. It's only for the church that we would give our life. Because the church is the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. Church existed before God even put the stars in place in the Father's heart. And yet the church was born into space and time of human history through the whole Christ event. So here we are 2,000 years later on the other side of the planet, speaking a language that didn't exist at the time of the original Pentecost, but drinking of that same Spirit, loving that same Jesus, belonging to that same church. And so it's with courage and fire and enthusiasm and conviction that we celebrate this great feast as we come to the conclusion of the Easter season. It's with those same qualities that we are sent at the end of this Mass to go into the world and to live our faith. And so we pray to the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the church. We renew our commitment to discipleship.